And greetings, friends. Would you like to know what you personally will be doing within the next 20 to 50 years? Will you be floating around in heaven? Will you be dead or possibly roasting in an ever-burning hell? What does the Bible really say? Does the inspired Word of God describe an exciting, challenging future which has never been explained to you before? You need to know and to prepare for what is definitely going to happen. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in Tomorrow's World.
This week, Roderick C. Meredith asks, what is ahead for you personally? And now, Roderick C. Meredith.
Have you personally proved to yourself, my friends, that the Bible is God's inspired revelation to mankind? Will you personally actually believe what your Bible clearly says about your future? Remember Luke chapter 4, verse 4. Turn there if you have a Bible. Follow me in this program. I'm going to give you things you've probably never understood, but I'm not going to quote from some other strange theology book someone made up or from some philosophy. I'm quoting from your Bible. And Luke 4, verse 4 is extremely basic. Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Every word. And the only word of God in existence then was the Old Testament, which he constantly quoted as Scripture, and which Peter and James and John and Paul quoted as Scripture. Are you willing to believe every word of God, including the Old Testament? Or are your traditional beliefs so strong that you're unable to accept revealed truth from the Bible, from this book which the great God inspired? Picture the thousands of funerals being conducted every day, my friends. The bereaved family is in need of comfort. So the ministers give these people the traditional hope for the dead. And they generally use this particular verse I'm talking about. What is the genuine hope for the future as revealed in the Bible? Think about it. What does the Bible actually say? Is it what these people think it says? Turn to John chapter 14, which is perhaps the most commonly used scripture at funerals. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Look it up in your Bible. Verse 1. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And then the minister takes off and talks about floating off to heaven and that their beloved is already in heaven. Does this verse say that? That is the question you need to squarely face, or any other verses like this. In my Father's house, what does God's house mean? How does Jesus use that terminology? What does most of the Bible say about God's house? For one reference, and I hope you'll get a concordance or look it up, you'll see it's all through the New Testament. Notice John, turn back for a moment to John chapter 2 in verse 13. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. When he made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Yes, God's house, as used in the Bible, nearly always indicates the temple. It's not talking about heaven. The literal temple had a number of rooms, just like the White House or the houses, you know, some building of Congress or Parliament. And in those rooms were various offices, which denoted the place where certain people would be. And in America, we talk about the White House. We mean, you know, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. There are lots of White Houses, but 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, that White House is traditionally the place where the President of the United States lives. In Britain, they say number 10 Downing Street. That is the place where the Prime Minister normally lives. A place denoting the office of the individual. And that's what Jesus is clearly talking about here. In my Father's house are many offices, many places, denoting the position of the peoples involved. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place. I'm going to prepare a job for you. I'm going to prepare a position, responsibility for you. And as we go on through this program, don't judge it ahead of time. As we go on through this program, you're going to see that is what the Bible is talking about. That's what Jesus was talking about here. And so many other places, when Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven, then they often say, well, that means you go off to heaven. No, the bank of Morgan does not mean Mr. Morgan swallowed his little piggy bank and it's inside his tummy. Of denotes ownership. It's the kingdom of heaven, not in heaven. Heaven is God's throne. But as we're going to see, and we've explained so many times, the kingdom of God, the coming millennial reign of Christ, is going to be set up on this earth right after Christ returns for 1,000 years. The kingdom will be right here. And so Jesus is preparing a place for us. You're going to have a job to do. I explained in the program, the last program I made, we're made to be like Christ. We're made to be glorified in God's family, and we're going to be given a tremendous challenge with spirit bodies to help fulfill that challenge, to help Christ rule this world. He says, I go to prepare a place for you in verse 3, and if I go in chapter 14, verse 3, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Well, where is Christ going to be? Does it say he's going to be up in heaven after his return? No, all the scriptures say something different from that. And you need to read them and understand them. One among many scriptures is back in Zechariah. Turn to Zechariah chapter 14, if you would. Verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. And I will gather all the nations, not up in heaven, all the nations of the earth to battle against Jerusalem. The city will be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the ever-living one, will go forth and fight against those nations as when he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand. In that day, when he comes again, where? Up in heaven? No. His feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives. That's a big hill just east of Jerusalem. I've stood on that hill a number of times. Some of you have too, probably. And notice verse 9. And the Eternal shall be king over all the earth. Not up in heaven, all the earth in that day. Notice verse 16. It shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations, obviously carnal, physical nations on this earth, which came against Jerusalem, shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it goes on to explain they've got to go up to Jerusalem to keep these festivals of God during the millennium, during Christ's rule over this earth. Christ's true saints will be right here assisting him in ruling. That's why we're going to be made full brothers of Christ. That's why we're going to be born of God as full sons of God. We have an awesome opportunity to help people, hundreds of millions of people that are starving, that are hurting, that need help because they've gone the wrong way. God has let them go that way for 6,000 years. And now God's going to intervene in the millennium and the 7,000 years, the seventh millennial day. The day of God, and he's going to straighten things out, and Christ is going to rule, but he's going to have the help of his true saints. Will be you be among those true saints? Are you willing to believe what this book says? Are you willing to do what this book says? I hope you will. It's very clear. Carry on. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, I'd like to read all of this, of course, but we'll have to break into a thought here in verse 25, talking about this coming ten-nation union that's rising up in Europe right now. He talks here about a great religious leader. And he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and laws. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. Then the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion, the opportunity to rule, and the greatness of the kingdoms, the governments of this world, under the whole heaven, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Here are the true saints of God who will be ruling with Christ on this earth. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him, obviously, on this earth. This is the job. This is your future. This is the thing you should be preparing for right now. But as you go to church and clap hands and sing songs and talks about little Lord Jesus and so on, you don't get most of that, do you? You don't understand that. You're not taught that. And yet the Bible is full of this. Does the New Testament make this plain? Does it show that that is our calling? Of course it does, over and over. Let me give you a few key scriptures that explain this. Turn to the writings of the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul writes in verse 1, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters, these physical things? Do you not know that we shall judge angels?" We're going to help Christ judge the angelic hosts. How much more things that pertain to this life? Yes, my friends, true Christians, genuine Christians who understand, are now in training to assist Jesus Christ in ruling this earth. Not up in heaven, but on this earth. Picture a world of peace and joy and prosperity. This is the kind of world we can help bring about. Now notice your inspired Bible here. Turn to Revelation. Revelation 3, verse 21. "To him who overcomes, who grows in grace and in knowledge, feeds on this word, is willing to obey it, serve God, do what he says, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." Jesus promises. Notice Revelation 5. Here in verse 8, it describes the prayers of the saints, inspired of God, obviously. The prayers of the saints, what did they say? They sang a new song, Revelation 5, verse 9, saying, "You are worthy to take the scrolls and to open its seals, for you were slain," speaking of Christ, obviously, "and you have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every blood, every tribe, I mean, and tongue, and people, and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign," we shall rule where? "On the earth." As far as I know, all translations have it that way. Not up in heaven, on this earth. Understand that. You've been deceived, many of you, thinking you just go off to heaven with nothing to do. Understand the purpose of the great God. Please understand. Open your mind. This is the revealed future, my friends. The revealed future for genuine Christians. Are you personally willing to believe God's word on these points? Are you willing to surrender to the real Jesus Christ to come in and live his life in you, to build his character within you, to fulfill his purpose in you through the Holy Spirit? Think about it. At this point, my friends, I want to sincerely urge you to do something that will help you the rest of your life, prep beyond anything we could possibly offer you. I want to urge you and encourage you strongly to enroll in the most helpful Bible study course available anywhere on this earth. And I really mean that. Your enrollment in Tomorrow's World Bible Study course is absolutely free. There will never be any charge. We have nothing to sell, as you know, but this thorough, inspiring, and clearly written Bible course will help you genuinely come to a more profound understanding of the real meaning of the Bible and of life itself than anything else you've ever read before. So write or call now and request your free enrollment in the Tomorrow's World Bible Study course. It will add meaning and encouragement to your life. Just call the toll-free number on the screen and ask for enrollment in the free Bible study course. That's all you need. Call the toll-free number now.
Don't miss this dynamic, powerful aid to your study. Tomorrow's World Bible Study Course, yours absolutely free if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now, my friends, back to our topic. What's ahead for you personally? What should be your personal goal? What are you going to be doing, actually doing, in about 20 or 30 years? Think about it. This is real. This is what your Creator says, if you could believe the words, the clear words of your Bible. Turn back to Revelation 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Then I saw heaven opened, John writes, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on him was faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns and a name written that no one knew. He's clothed in blood. His name is called the Word of God. The armies in heaven follow him, and of course he himself will rule the nations with a rod of iron. It says here in verse 16, he has a name on his robe and a thigh, a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, crying out to gather people to the great supper of God. And here is God beginning to intervene and feed the flesh of these rebellious people to the birds, to the carrion. And in verse 15 or 19, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse. Here are human beings, hundreds of millions of them probably, think about this, literally fighting Christ. How could they possibly do this, my friends? Because they're deceived, because they don't know, because God says all nations are deceived. They don't understand. God is not trying to call everyone right now. And we've explained that to you. And so the beast was captured here, and with him the false prophet who works signs in his presence. A great false prophet is alive on earth today, right now. And he's going to begin to work terrible signs and wonders, things that will not be exactly like Christ's merciful, quiet, humble healing of people, but different kinds of signs. And he received or deceived people on the earth who received the mark of the beast. And they were, of course, cut off from God. And so these two, the beast and this coming great false prophet, were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. That is their reward. Please don't follow them. They are going to take over in a few years. They are going to rule. Please don't follow them. Read this book. Understand. Think. Prepare for your real future that the great God has revealed clearly in this book. So the rest of the dead were killed with the sword which proceeded out of Christ's mouth, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Then John writes in chapter 20, I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, a great chain in his hand. He lays hold on Satan and binds him for 1,000 years. Satan has been deceiving the nations of this world. They're deceived. They don't understand. All the nations, all your nations are deceived. But now Christ removes that blindness by casting Satan into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, the millennium. And then he, of course, removes this deception for 1,000 years. And then John sees the souls of those who were persecuted, some beheaded for worshiping Christ, and who had not received the mark of the beast on their hands or foreheads. And they lived and reigned Notice the true saints didn't go off to heaven with nothing to do. They lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead, and we've explained this, another time they're given a genuine first chance. The rest of the dead, the blinded people, did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is an interpolated area looking ahead beyond the millennium. This is the first resurrection when these saints rise and rule. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. That's when Christ returns. Blessed are those. Blessed are you and me if we have opportunity to be in that first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign. So as the rest of the Bible shows, which we've seen over and over, they shall be kings and priests. They will be like Moses and like Samuel. They will rule, and yet they will teach and help and guide the people to learn God's way of life. Kings and priests, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's our future. That's your future. That's the future of all true saints. If we could just yield ourselves to God, surrender to what God actually shows us, and let Christ rule our lives. No rapture described here, no going to heaven for years or a whole 1,000-year period at all, but Christ coming back to this earth, reread that, and then his rule on this earth, not up in heaven. So think about that. The true saints will assist Christ in ruling on this earth, as I've explained, not up in heaven. And this earth is where the problems are. Picture that, my friends, all the death and destruction and starvation all over the earth. This earth is where divine help is needed from Christ and his Spirit-born saints. The millions of oppressed and starving people in many areas of Asia, Africa, and elsewhere, they need our help, and they need the help of the living Jesus Christ. We'll be giving this opportunity to help and to serve them if we can give our lives to God, if we can believe the true gospel, the true good news of what our actual future will be. Turn back to Luke 19, verse 11. As the disciples heard a parable he'd given, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought, these disciples thought, the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore he said, and here he describes a nobleman himself going to a far country to receive a kingdom and to return. And he delivered 10 servants, certain blessings. He gives these things to them, and he gives them minas, each one a mina, amount of money. As you give someone an amount of money and say, use this, use your time, your talents, while I'm away, he's telling them. And so it was verse 15, when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants, to whom he'd given the money, to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Have you overcome? Have you grown in grace and in knowledge? Have you tried to use your time, your talents, your resources to get behind the very work of God, to help prepare for God's kingdom, to go all out to prepare for the real new world order and serve your God and serve your Christ with all your being and overcome and learn the lessons of life? Let Christ live in you. Let him put his character in you so you're fit to rule with him and understand his laws, understand his ways, so you can rule with Jesus Christ as a king or a priest. He's going to be asking how you use your time and your talents, the life he's given you now, and to know how much each man had gained, you see, during this life. Then came the first saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little. I have authority, he says, over 10 cities. Can we spiritualize this away? Can we say, no, we're not going to really rule cities. We're just going off to heaven with nothing to do. No. God says the overcomers will rule on this earth, have authority over 10 cities. The second came saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. And likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Did Jesus really mean what he said? God help you to understand the gospel, the real meaning of human existence. Turn to Acts chapter 3 now, my friends. Repent, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Yes, God has spoken of this over and over, the kingdom of God on the earth. All through Isaiah chapter 11, he describes how the lion will lie down with the lamb, how the earth will bud and blossom, how there will be great blessings over the earth. He describes this in Micah chapter 4. He describes this in Isaiah chapter 2. He describes it throughout the Old Testament, throughout the Bible. God has said these things throughout all his prophets. The millennial rule of Christ, the kingdom of God, through the mouth of all his prophets since the world began. And he says we'd better listen to the one great prophet who said these things, Jesus Christ. Will you believe the greatest prophet of all time? There really is a new world order coming. It's coming soon, but it's coming in the person of Jesus Christ with his resurrected saints. God grant that that will include you, my friends. Open your mind. In Jesus' name, I urge you to open your mind and open your heart. Not to my ideas. Prove these things. Do what God says. Believe what God says. Be willing to heed the real words of the gospel. And be willing to surrender to let the living Jesus Christ of the Bible start preparing you to do your part in tomorrow's world. Again, be sure to call or write immediately, my friends, and request your free enrollment in this wonderful Tomorrow's World Bible Study course. There is no other course on earth like this. There really isn't. And there's absolutely no charge or obligation for enrolling in Tomorrow's World Bible Study course. Open your mind to literally scores of truths that you've probably never understood. Be willing to learn. Be willing to prove these things. This course will assist you in proving the basic truths out of your own Bible, not some other book or idea. And tune in every week to Tomorrow's World program. On this program, you'll gain tremendous information and background, insights available about world events and prophetic events available nowhere else. Richard Ames and I will give you this understanding, and you will be able to know what's really going on and the exciting prophecies of tomorrow's world. See you right here next week.
Don't miss this dynamic, powerful aid to your study. Tomorrow's World Bible Study Course. Yours absolutely free if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. All the literature offered on today's program can be ordered absolutely free off our website at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.